Welcome to the same old Wombles series two. No idea what episode number it is because I've missed the last one. I think it's probably 14, sounds about right. And welcome joining myself, Niall Cooper, is the amazing Alex Folkes, once known as Lib Dem Don, and Adam Proctor, who is not standing for the Don's Trust board, in case you didn't know that already. But it's very important to do that. Today we'll be covering a range of different topics. Undoubtedly discussing the glorious Cheltenham Town FA Cup success, with Alex going to extreme depth about that. We'll not talk about any kind of other random politics or anything else that will get me into trouble, which will be really difficult. And we'll have Adam talking about Adam stuff, whatever Adam stuff is, which basically involves his daughter winning prizes. But we won't go into that right now. Anyway, that's it. Let's kick off. Let's start today's podcast. That's the way you feel. Test, but days have gone when football clubs live and fly just on fans' love. Davis isn't just a game, and tough decisions must be made. But this is a good thing. At least now I remember to introduce us, which
yes,
I
that's
didn't
better than last week. Yeah,
and I think I've messed it up as well when I was trying to lead. So yeah, we're struggling on without our glorious listener leader. So anyway, come on then, let's get to the what do they call it, the brass tacks of things. What happened Saturday, Alex? Come on. Like, there's goals at Plough Lane.
We won.
It's unbelievable.
I know, there were goals and we scored them. It all comes down to the fact that we were clearly up for it. We did perform largely to our potential. But Cheltenham Town were terrible. I mean, they showed why they're bottom or next to bottom of League One, because they didn't turn up. They didn't put in anything. They didn't really threaten. I know they scored one. They had a penalty. I have to say, I think that's down to our defending. So, you know, it wasn't a 10 out of 10 performance for us, because we still, even though we were comfortably going to win, we still conceded one, and we should have conceded a second one. They really showed very little through the entire game, even in those sort of early part of the first half where I expect it to be cagey. Before we'd scored in, what, the 23rd minute or whatever, we were still dominating them. It was quite clear we were going to win from the very start. What happened? Ali scored a really good goal, a really well-taken goal. At least my memory of it was that it was a really well-taken goal. Looking at it on the highlights, it didn't look quite that good. Tilly's first was, I think you'd have to say, a bit lucky. There was a through ball and he raced onto it and he chipped it over the keeper. And then there was an agonising way. I was in the main stand on the halfway line for the first half.
Yeah, it must have been slow.
And it was so slow. And I didn't know whether it was going to go wide or go in. Obviously, those who are in the south stand could see it was always going to go in if it reached that far. But agonisingly, yes, it made it. And that was 2-0 at half time. Second half, I bumped into a friend at half time who said, "Oh, my son hasn't come into the south stand for the second half," which I did. First time I've been in there for a game.
That's the one behind the goal, yeah?
Yeah, the shouty singy stand. And we scored three more. The highlight of which was Mrs. Robinson's cut inside and then wonderful strike into the top corner.
Yeah, that looked awesome.
It was a really good goal, deservedly up there in the offer that the BBC has for goal of the round. So get voting now. I don't know what he wins, if anything, but, you know, it's worth voting for him because, you know, it
a
was
penny
a really
chew
good
and
goal.
a couple of that's for him. Who knows?
Yeah, all funded out of a licence fee. But, you know, he was, I think, my player of the match. He showed something throughout the game. He was really dangerous. He was playing left wing, and the tactic was quite clearly, I mean, we'd obviously decided that Cheltenham's back four were really slow and couldn't turn. So we were playing long balls over the top, predominantly down the left. And we were having a lot of success from it. And it was clearly a tactic that had been thought out that really worked. And we scored five as a result. You know, then we conceded one. we didn't go to pieces. We didn't look like we were nervous at all, and you shouldn't be at 5-0 up. But we did look a bit much like we could have conceded two or three more. But you know, on the other hand, we also hit the post. We missed a relatively simple chance. If it had been 8-2, that would probably have been a fair reflection of the game. I don't know what our XG number is for the game, but it would have been quite high. Yeah,
What's this?
overall,
Well, yeah, what is this XG number? What's that about?
expected goals, it's some sort of woo-woo science based on the position you get into and the shots you have and whether you should have converted them. Anyway, it's yet another that number that means nothing. The only thing that matters is the number on the scoreboard. You know, what else was there? Kai, the kid, came on and did really well for his 20 seconds, you know, professional debut. Another academy graduate. Brilliant to see that. Yeah, overall, everybody in midfield and attack had a really good game. The defence didn't look as dog shit as sometimes they do, but they still conceded one and a penalty. So yeah, it was a fun outing. So you know, I'm glad we had a good time. And our reward for this is, you know, you ask yourself, what would you like in the second round of the FA Cup? I think it was Kenny Dalglish who once said, "Home tie against a non-league side in an injury crisis." Well, we've got a home tie against the lowest ranked side, definitely through. So, happily take that. I think we're, you know, fingers crossed. You know, can't predict too much, but we've got the best possible chance of being in the third round draw and getting our nice away tie at Arsenal or Chelsea. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I mean the draw was pretty. The draw for I think it's great for us, but it's right. I'm right in saying that on all the FA Cup games, the gates split. Yeah, so it's good for Ramsgate as well. No, because they get the split of our gate, which will be bigger than their ground could ever hold. No.
Yeah, the issue with that is that it goes after expenses,
Oh, and
right?
we will
So,
have more expenses.
yeah, it would be more expensive to have it at our ground than it would be at theirs. So, and then there's also issue about bar taking. So, like, it's the receipts. I can't remember. I don't think it's the bar and the food. So we'd probably take that. So, you know, it's and also I think there is a fair chance because it's the lowest ranked team. We're AFC Wimbledon. You know, it's probably a fair chance of it being on telly. So,
Well, that's good. We get cash for being on telly,
yeah,
obviously.
exactly. So I'd imagine that, considering they had Cheltenham versus Cray and Bromley versus whoever, you know, it's
When's it
probably.
going to be, when's it going to be played? What weekend is it?
First weekend in December. So you look at your fixture list and there's a big blank weekend there. That's what it when it is. So, you know, the only caveat I would say is that Horsham were playing who? Barnsley or somebody, and they on a Friday night on police advice, and they weren't on telly. They've got a replay out of it. Hopefully, that one will be televised because the Lardy boys, you know, they're fun. They deserve a bit of love. So hopefully, ITV will show that one. But yeah, I mean, it was
ITV,
good.
blimmin' Echo. I forget they showed football.
Yeah. I mean, there's a good chance it'll be that we will be on telly. It would be nice if we were. Hopefully, not at a ridiculous kickoff time, but you know, it's good stuff. So, you know, I think overall the FA Cup is a still a nice thing. Hopefully, we can get. I mean, we got 4,900 on Saturday. That's more than King's Meadow could have ever held. So, but it's still. Was rattling around a bit in there, so let's hope we get a bit of a better attendance this time.
I think I'll go to the next round just because so I don't know. I think yeah, more people are probably thinking the same. Probably feels like a game we should win. You want to be there for a win. Yeah, I mean I guess I wasn't expecting much out of this weekend's FA Cup game, so that's good. I am annoyed that I missed all those goals, especially when they were down the end where I sit. Ugh, typical. Anyway, but yeah, it did.
I mean, for me, I think with it is, you know, I want to compare my feeling now compared to previous seasons. Previous seasons, like Ramsgate at home, I've been a minor state of panic. I'm not in that complete state of panic. I'm not saying I like it because I hate the idea of playing that. And it's always like a potential for banana skin, right? Nobody's going to be supporting us apart from the Wimbledon fans in the stadium. But I feel more optimistic than I would do in previous seasons. And I think that's got a lot to do with how we've been generally playing. We've had a couple of blips, and I think Morecambe would have been like a huge blip. But, you know, there's still, you know, there's still kind of a little bit of optimism about the club. And I think we needed Saturday to bounce back from two pretty poor performances. So I think that's what's really good. And I'm quite chuffed about that.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, probably none of us know, because when you're in non-league, you don't see these games. But I guess the worry might be getting our players getting injured. Is there a bit of a, you know, kick it? And that includes kicking the legs out kind of thing. So I guess that might be a little bit of a concern. Depends what Ramsgate's sort of reputation is, I guess, in that regard. But it's always a bit more, what should we say, heavy-handed in the lower leagues, isn't it?
I think you've got, you know, you've got to give credit to any club that they're going to come and try and win the game. And if they can't win, they're going to try and draw and get a replay. They don't want to be down to eight men. And they don't want to be losing 8-0. I think as long as we're respectful of them and their potential, you know, they've got this far, same as we have, and they've won a lot more games than we have to get there. So we just, you know, we play the opponents that are in front of us. Technically, I'm sure we will be the better players, but you still got to, as the cliche goes, you still got to do it on the day. So, you know, I don't think you can go into it assuming that they're going to just try and kick lumps out of you. Just as I'm sure that if we were playing Arsenal, they wouldn't think that either. You know, you assume that they're going to try and score some goals and play football. What style they play, how they play it, how they structure the team, I haven't got a clue, obviously. What I do know is that historically, we haven't been brilliant against Ramsgate. I think we've played them four times and we've only won one and drawn the other three. So, you know, OK, different league now and all that sort of thing. But, you know, let's hope that we can put together another convincing performance. And before that, win three or four games in the league. That's the important thing, is making sure that we build off the Cheltenham result and win the games that give us 3 points.
So hang on, there's a game tomorrow, which is, and my calendar has popped up saying it's a Bristol Street Motors Trophy. What's that?
That is the new sponsorship for the Pizza Cup.
Oh, so it's the one that had no sponsor. It's now got a sponsor. Who the heck are Bristol Street Motors? They should be giving me some money for talking about them.
They're a second-hand car dealership that's nationwide, I think. You know, fair play to them, but it's still the EFL trophy. And we're playing Crystal Palace under-21s, you know, which is obviously a team I don't think should be in any sort of competition against us, so I'm not going to go. Thank you very much. No, it'll have possibly 1,000 people there. We'll play our reserves. Yeah, right, whatever.
It's good. It's only because I just saw it coming up and I thought, what is that? I thought the next game was Saturday, but of course the next game is Saturday because we don't care about the Pizza Cup for all the right reasons, because it's got teams in it that shouldn't be in it, as we've already outlined.
Yeah, the thing with it, right, is that my daughter adores going to midweek games. And she was going, midweek game, when's the next midweek game? And she was like, we can go. And I'm like, we are not going to watch. Well, it's now going to, we used to call it Pizza Cup, so we'll call it, what, the second-hand car cup. you know, and that's like, you know, there's no point going. But equally, apart from the fact that morally I'm opposed to it, you know, it's just, but we do get some money potentially if we win. And I hope we use a load of our reserves and some of our academy people to let them have a run out and see how they get on. But, you know, I mean, there might be a few Palace fans who fancy it. But I can't see it being, you know, particularly interesting. I mean, I remember we played Pompey and they took quite a few in this cup competition. So it's more like, are Palace fans bothered? Because I am not.
Yeah. It's a game. I think I went to the Pompey game. I will go occasionally to this cup, but not to see any of the under 21 teams because I don't believe they should be there. It is a chance to see some of the players you don't see on a Saturday. It can be all right, I suppose, but nah, not for tomorrow for me. Thank you very much. Hope we win, but I'm gonna sit here in the warm, I think.
Yeah, it's suddenly gone quite cold, hasn't it? So talking about getting cold at football, I'm going to bring a friend of mine to the Doncaster Rovers game on Saturday. So what do you think is happening? Like, what's Doncaster doing in terms of, are they doing anything? Do we need to worry about it? I mean, because we want our league form to be back, obviously. That for me is more important. I'm happy to get money from the FA Cup. I obviously think the FA Cup's a fantastic trophy anyway, but I think the league is the most important thing for us this season.
I think you're completely right. I mean, from Doncaster Rovers, it's a weird one because that's a club that were running very sustainably, and they've got an old owner who's just said, "Oh, screw it, I'm just going to throw loads of money at the club because I'm going to die soon," is basically what he said. Which is sad that you've got that kind of mentality, but I suppose if he's going to spend his money, he might as well spend his money. But it does mean Doncaster are moving themselves towards an unsustainable m model because when he does die and the money dries up, they're going to be in trouble financially. So, not sensible approach. So in that sense, yeah, I'd like to turn them over. I'd turn over every team we play, mind, but it'd be nice to go there for a win. I know Amelia's definitely going Saturday, so always good to take her, and hopefully we can get 3 points. That's would be the good thing. It'd be nice to see us win at home because I did miss the FA Cup game, and I keep on forgetting how often I've seen us win in the last 3 years, and it feels like not very many, and I might be the curse. I mean, also there's a bit of a curse at Plough Lane. Like we just seem to be incapable of winning there. And if you
No, but the thing is, they won when you weren't there at the FA Cup. So that's what made me think there isn't the curse of the ground. It's the curse of someone. Maybe it's
it's
you, Niall. Who
potentially me.
knows?
All right, I apologise to everybody. Right, it's my fault that we've been. I am going on Saturday. Maybe having Amelia there will help rectify that. I'll see with. My brother's, my niece goes as well, because that might help as well.
Balance it out, definitely. And are they, I mean, would they bring a lot of away fans? Do we know?
Doncaster, they're not like poorly supported club, so yeah, they'll probably bring a few, but it won't be like.
The great thing about Doncaster is it's just under 2 hours on the direct train line into London. So, for somewhere in the grim north, as anywhere. Anywhere north of the river is automatically the Grim North. They've got relatively good connections, so hopefully they bring a few. Hopefully it's good atmosphere. That's what I want to see out of a football game is a good atmosphere, a good game, and obviously a Don's win. I'm not going to knock Doncaster at all. Hopefully they do quite well, but just not on Saturday. Thank you very much.
Exactly. And actually, say about the Grim North, I mean, it might as well be from Barnet. It's the same sort of place, isn't it, really? Just the North. So,
I
yeah.
think anywhere from Fulham Broadway north is grim. Anyway, before I start getting myself into too much trouble, I mean, the other thing that's going to happen tomorrow, and obviously I'm leading to Niall to talk about this, but tomorrow we've got the King's Speech in Parliament. I still can't get my head around the King's Speech rather than the Queen's Speech, like God Save the Queen and people trying to sing the national anthem and getting it wrong and so on. But King's Speech in Parliament, which, yes, it's politics. And yes, we said we're not going to talk about politics, except what are we going to get tomorrow, Niall?
We could get a first football bill that brings in an independent regulator for football, which means that if you are a poorly run club with financially spending more than you earn, you will get held up to scrutiny by a new independent regulator. There will be a new owners and directors test, which means potentially, if you happen to be a person that goes around killing journalists or treating women shit, that you might not actually be allowed to own a football club. Stuff like that. So it's quite a lot. It's quite a absolutely historical moment in football, if I'm being really honest about it, because it will help level the playing field for the clubs that actually run well. Because at the moment, football isn't done like that. And it also mean for clubs such as Sheffield Wednesday and Reading and Scunthorpe and Southend, all of which are really worrying about their own future existence, that sort of threat should be eradicated by having a good regulator in place. I mean, let's face it, football is pretty fucked. And we're in a situation where we try and abide by the rules and loads of other people don't. And that's actually to a detriment of AFC Wimbledon. So I think this could be a real opportunity for a better ground, groundswell, a real moment that could help AFC Wimbledon long term.
So let me dig into. Let me ask you a question about the Nile, because and I'll let Alex, I'm sure, has got loads of questions. Mine are the silly questions. So obviously we know that there's been loads of talk about the fairy tale in quotes Wrexham, and the fact that I don't know. I mean, I don't watch the TV series, so I have no idea. But I'm assuming at this point something came out in the TV series where the guys who own Wrexham are suddenly sort of realise. They basically lost like 12 million or whatever it was. I don't know what, 9 million was it? So how does this function in that regard? Because they've basically taken tons of, well, they did. I don't understand how they didn't know they were going to lose loads of money, but whatever. They've basically taken tons of money and just been throwing it, losing it in Wrexham. How does a regulator function with that? Because that's not like some evil oil murder, whatever thing. It's just people with money. And no sense. So how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, they're looking at this with a new financial deal, which is potentially that a limited amount of funds be allowed to be put into a club. That's potentially being looked at, which would restrict the amount that Wrexham owners are allowed to put in. Be a good thing. The other thing that is coming into play much more on that is how the money's given. So if the money's given like as a straight amount of straight cash, and the key is, have you got money in the bank to cover your liabilities? So like if you put loads of money in the club and it all goes on players' wages and you walk away, does the club have the cash to cover those wages for the next year? That's one of the big things that the regulator would look to do. Also, there's an element about a lot of clubs don't do it as straight cash, straight given money, which is actually probably the safest way to secure a club's future if you are going to do that. But a lot of it's on loans, which means that if that person dies or if they walk away, then you've got a real problem. So those are the two kind of issues. Let me just put that into context for you about how screwed football is at the moment, because Fair Game just done all the research about it, and we're going to be doing something on it potentially next week. This amount of how much cash reserves clubs have. Now, we've got, I think, something like 300 days worth of cash reserves to cover our players' wages. We're among the top sort of 5, 10 clubs in the country in terms of cash reserves. Nottingham Forest, who are the worst, have 5 hours.
What? 5 hours of cash reserves for their players' wages?
Yes.
Or for the wage? Is it for the just the players, or is it for the whole?
Players' wages.
Is it the just players? Not what about the backroom staff and all that kind of
Well,
stuff?
I mean,
That's not
like backroom
included in that.
staff are tiny in
Okay.
terms of proportion of a player.
5 hours?
5 hours.
That's not even a day. That's like a couple of matches. Do you know what I mean? Like, what the heck?
It's not even that, is it? It's like you wake up at 9 and the club's broke by 2.
That's crazy.
But that's where football's at. Now, in a normal business, this is about your kind of reserves that you'd expect a company to have. You should operate. I think the recommended is about 3 years in normal business practice on
Yeah,
reserve.
I was going to say, like, even
Now,
300 days sounds short.
yeah, people would go 300 days is like actually below what you should be expecting, but we're among the better ones. So there's a move towards trying to make it towards 6 months worth of cash reserves, which is what the regulator and the good governance of the regulator would come into play. Now, that would therefore be you potentially looking at other penalties coming into play about saying it would be more like transfer embargoes, penalty deductions, stuff like that, until a club can reach that level. That's the sort of things that are being mooted. Now, obviously, we are well run, we would be in a good place, but for a lot of the clubs around us, they'd be under transfer embargoes, there'd be point deductions until football sorts itself out. So we could see a moment where a table's littered with clubs all being deducted points.
Do you think they'll do point deduction, though? I mean, that's quite a big deal, isn't it?
Well, you think about what else is going to hit a club. So the only thing to really hit a club, you either massively fine the owner. What you don't want to do is fine the club.
No. But the thing is, by deducting them points, you could put them into a position where they get relegated, etc., and that effectively would end up fining the club long term.
See, the way we fair game approach it is that we would say that what should happen is an incentive. So you should, the football's financial flow, if you distributed it according to how well run you were, then it becomes an incentive to be not a bunch of numpties, which a load of clubs are. I mean, like the next club, I think, were Walsall, who were like 7 hours worth of cash reserves. I mean, it's there's a lot of clubs that are only a couple of days.
That's ridiculous. I mean, I knew it was bad, but that's insane.
I think there's a few things I'd like to ponder on this. The first is just on that point about reserves and so on. You get sports like baseball, for example, which has a luxury tax, which means that owners can effectively throw as much money as they want into a club. Yes, it has to be sustainable or at least have some measure of sustainability. But if an owner wants to throw more than a certain amount into a club, they actually get a luxury tax so that they get penalized a proportion of that additional money they put in. So if you have journalist murdering misogynists FC, then and wanting to put billions in, then they can do that, but they don't get the value of those billions because there's a tax in place that stops them doing it. Now, that I think would work at the that sorry, I had another call coming in for a second there. That would work at the Premiership level where there are those billions and clubs are on a slightly more even footing, but I don't think it would work at our level. My worry about this regulator is that we're not going to get everything that we want out of it. And that's inevitably going to be the case with any sort of parliamentary measure, any sort of government regulation. I want to know what you think, and this is probably impossible to judge until we see the bill, but are we going to get enough out of this? Is it going to come in soon enough? And with a general election likely to take place in a year or so, is it actually going to be legislated for in time, or are we actually going to be waiting for the next government to get around in its list of priorities to making this high enough up the agenda to implement?
I can answer nearly all of those questions, Alex. So, firstly, it is currently being mooted as being going to be pushed through very quickly, is what I've heard. So we're originally expecting it to go and be debated at some length in early 2024, so sort of January, February, March. We've now had whispers that it may well be rushed through in January, literally because there's very little opposition to it, so it could actually go through really quickly. What's also interesting is that the civil service have been advertising for key jobs for the regulator, an interim CEO, some other interim positions have been advertised. That fits into that timescale because the government can start spending money on new legislation once it's passed the second reading. So the second reading could actually be completed by January, mid-January, which means if you're advertising now and you appoint now, then you could have somebody in place as a shadow regulator February, March. And the idea for that shadow regulator is to shape what the actual regulator will look like. So that's kind of like appointing the new positions, what's in its proper remit. So the original timescale had been that there would be a regulator in place, not necessarily fully operational, but in place by the start of next season, which I always thought was over-optimistic, but actually the timescale is in place for that, which was pretty phenomenal. Whether it will fill in all of the things we want it to do, unlikely, but We are logging, Fair Game logging quite hard on a whole load of things that we want to see in it. The number one thing for Fair Game and for AFC Wimbledon is financial flow, because the current football authorities are very much invested in interest, and it's not really going to help us. We're going to get a bit more money out of the next deal, a few hundred thousand pounds extra, which is no bad thing, but it doesn't really rectify the whole problem because everybody will be getting that, and it's not really weighted properly, and it just means most likely it will go on players' wages, is what we've been all the insiders are saying. So it does need a bit of an overhaul to do that. And that needs an holistic approach, which is where the regulator can come into play. So that's probably the big thing to look for. All the stuff about golden share, so nobody can ever move a club 60 miles north. Nobody can change the name of the club or the club colours or the club badge without consulting fans. All of that could potentially be in there. We'll certainly be lobbying for that. Things like, all the kind of standard good governance practice that isn't common, like transparency, the owners and directors test, which is a mess, trying to actually find out what that happens with that, also could come into play. I expect there's going to be a big push on the owners and directors test to potentially ban state owners of a football club, which isn't just about Saudi. It's politically makes sense because it's a football club owned by a state entity isn't financially sustainable, because political policy can change against the state, and if it does, that club's instantly buggered. Kind of, you think about the Chelsea example. So the Chelsea example could be exactly the same as what could happen at Newcastle or Manchester City. So by banning state ownership, then you make sure those clubs are financially sustainable, even though the fact they've had loads of money pumped into them. So those are the kind of things that you need to be looking at. So there's quite a lot in there. There's a lot to work on, but it is definitely a step in the right direction, and definitely beneficial for AFC Wimbledon.
Well, obviously, we look forward to seeing how they announce it tomorrow. Let's try and refer to it as the AFC Wimbledon or the Fair Game Act when it comes through. I inevitably I always get disappointed with this sort of thing, but I think if even 10% of what we would like to see comes forward, then it will be at least a step in the right direction. And hopefully in the future it can be built on. But I just want to see a regulator with teeth. I think that the Premier League in particular has lobbied so hard for being allowed to get its own house in order and then comprehensively failed all the way along, that I think that an independent football regulator with some kind of teeth, even if its scope is limited, more than we would like to see, but as long as it can properly regulate in those areas it does have power, then that's got to be a step in the right direction and we can build on in the future. So yeah, I mean, I'm grateful. Thanks, Niall. I'm hopeful that we do get this thing in place, and maybe even by next season. That would be fantastic. It's definitely the sort of thing that deserves to succeed. So brilliant. Cool.
Only taken 3 years of lobbying and working hard.
Hey, I used to work for the Electoral Reform Society, which campaigned for proportional representation. And when I worked there, we'd been going for 118 years and achieved the square root of bugger all. So, that's not quite true, but we hadn't exactly achieved our aim. So, 3 years is a walk in the park. Anyway, before we go, can I have a big shout out for Ashley Hinks, our fantastic striker in the women's team, who scored another hat trick yesterday. We're recording this on Monday. Scored another hat trick on Sunday, and has scored something like 78 goals in 50 games for us. So it's just phenomenal. We see what Jude Bellingham and what Harry Kane are doing in the Bundesliga at the moment. We think they've got a good goal return. Obviously, somebody like Lionel Messi has a fantastic goal return, but Ashley Hinks deserves to be talked about in the same breath. She is doing an incredible job. So, big up to her, and anybody who gets a chance to go and watch one of the women's games, do so, because you're going to see some pretty damn good football. And the Dons winning. I mean, doesn't happen every week at Plough Lane.
I think it'll be really good. I'd love to see us go up because that starts getting to, we've been knocking on that door for a long time and we've just been unlucky because there's been some other bankrupt clubs that have gone in there. I have to say, fair game starting to look at the finance of the women's game, but that's a whole nother pod. But Ashley Hinks, you're a legend.
No, I think it's great. I mean, in terms, if we get promoted in that, what happened? Like, how big a deal is that in terms of financial flow in its current status?
There is a bit more money in that league above, but then most of the money's in the top two. So this would be the third tier, which is. But what is being rumoured is a reshaping of the top two divisions, so they would become bigger. So it's potential that if we went up, we could actually go into the second tier.
Oh, nice. Okay, because they're going to reshape how many teams are in the. Okay.
Yeah. That's quite likely because there's only 12 teams, I think, in the top two tiers, and they're looking to expand to something like 16 in both, or something like that, or 18 in both, which means that the third tier would get basically become the championship of whatever the equivalent. I forget the name of it, but yeah. So that's there's a really good chance of us becoming a second tier team if we get promoted.
Well, let's keep on winning. Let's keep hold of Ashley and keep her fit. And cool. Keep on scoring goals, and we've got every chance. Brill.
Excellent. I think that basically wraps up today's pod. Wonderful to speak to the brilliant Alex,
Yeah,
folks.
Niall's audio is totally messed up, so I'm just going to end the podcast because he doesn't know that it's kind of so messed up. But basically, thanks for listening to Same Old Wombles episode 14.